The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
This choice has been available to us since the very beginning of time.
Coming up, we've all gone through times when we need a fresh breeze to breathe life into us.
I had a time in my life where I was so depressed, so down, so caught in the doldrums. And I'm convinced people are living in a place, everything's there, but there's no wind in their sails.
Stay tuned as Pastor Chris Hodges reveals how to experience the fresh air of God's Spirit.
For joining us on Life Today. I'm Betty Robinson, and this is James.
We have a pastor that I admire tremendously. His name is Chris Hodges. He's got a book that the foreword is written by another one of our guests that I know you've come to appreciate, and that's Craig Groeschel. But this book, titled Fresh Air, that Chris Hodges wrote, is indeed a breath of fresh air. And I think you're going to want to hear from Chris where in the world this title came from, how he came up with it. And I want to give him that opportunity, but I want to mention something because I'm going to put a website up. He is also one of the leaders of a group of churches called ARC, Association of Related Churches. If you have watched Life Today, you'll know that on more than one occasion, we had a guest, Willie George, who pastors the church on the move in Oklahoma, in Tulsa. He accepted Christ more than 40 years ago when I was preaching, and he's a great pastor. I saw him at the ARC conference this last year that was hosted at Gateway Church, where Betty and I are members. And after the conference, Willie George walked up to me and said, of the ARC pastors and churches, he said, I think these are the most unselfish people I've ever seen. He said, I think this is the most unusual group of pastors and churches. So that's why the website's there. You may want to be a part of this association of churches. And I encourage you to really look at what they're doing and consider it, because I think they'll be an inspiration to you. You'll be a blessing to them. Welcome Chris Hodges, if you would, like today. Chris, good to see you. Always like to hear you preach at Gateway. I've got to ask you, since you come to Gateway quite often, and I know you and Robert are pastors, you're friends. You like Gateway?
I love Gateway.
What is it that makes Gateway special, you think?
I think it's what I wrote in this book. You know, there are just some environments that have a culture where you just want to be there. You know, we all been in environments in a home. Some of them are good, some of them are not so good. Classrooms, some of them not good, some not so good. And they're just life-giving cultures where things can work, you know? So that's what makes Gateway very, very special.
Well, it is like being in, I think, fresh air, and I see it on the people. Now, when you wrote the book, I'd like you to tell our viewers why you did put that title, Fresh Air. What led you to do that?
Well, the seed idea came from an experience I had at our church. I'm shaking hands at the door, and everyone's happy, but I see a few people down the line that's coming toward me. This lady with a scowl on her face, like she wanted to say something that she wasn't so happy about. So I'm already thinking, this is really not going to be that good. And so as she approaches me, she said, well, Pastor, I found one thing I don't like about this church. You know, and you know, as being in ministry as long as you have, when you hear that, you act like you want to know, but you really don't want to know. And so I said, well, please tell me what that is. And she was messing with me, and I didn't know it. So she said, well, the one thing I don't like about this church is I have to wait 6 days before I can come back.
Wow.
And a little tear came out of her eye, and she said, look, I've been in church my whole life. She's probably in her 50s or 60s. And she says, I've been in church my whole life, and for the first time in my life, it's like a breath of fresh air.
Wow.
And I just realized that that's what people are looking for. I honestly believe people are drowning, they're dying, they feel stagnant. They feel listless. The first chapter of the book, I wrote the chapter and I called it the doldrums, which actually is a zone around the equator in the oceans where the northern hemisphere spins one way, the southern hemisphere spins another way. And in that zone, the trade winds cancel each other out and there is no wind, there is no breath. And in the age before, there were motorized boats and a way to get out of it. If you sailed into the doldrums, you didn't get out. You died there. And I'm convinced people are living in a place, everything's there, but there's no wind in their sails. And this book was really written just to talk about those cultures, like at Gateway, like this lady at our church experienced. And what would it take for all of us to just get a breath of fresh air from God?
Well, you know, the Bible does talk about the wind of the Spirit because Jesus referenced that. And we have heard references many times, and I know I've said it, set your sail to catch the wind of the Spirit and let God carry you. And I think that oftentimes people are either not setting their sail, or they've just folded them, or there doesn't seem to be any breeze, any fresh air. And don't you think that's what happens if you settle in for some kind of religious form without a real relationship that brings the energy and vitality?
In fact, this choice has been available to us since the very beginning of time. In the second chapter of the Bible, God offered a choice for us, a tree of life, full of breath, full of His Spirit. It was a way for us to get close to God. And then there was that tree of the knowledge of good and evil that was really makes it where you're trying to manufacture energy on your own outside of that breath. And that's why people die there. And so what people don't realize is how to recognize those choices and then not only to receive this fresh air, but then be able to be a kind of what I call a fresh air kind of a person that's bringing it to others. In the Bible, Paul gave a shout out to a guy named Onesiphorus. Most people don't know his name. But in 2 Timothy, he said, "May the Lord bless Onesiphorus and his household, because he visited me often and he revived me, and his visits were like a breath of fresh air," the Living Bible says.
Wow.
And that word revived, the Greek word, literally means he helped me recover breath. And I'm just convinced, I faced it myself. I don't really sometimes like to admit it, you know, but I had a time in my life where I was so depressed, so down, so caught in the doldrums. And when you're there, and you probably have seen this in people, and you know this firsthand probably, that when you're there, you can't let it, you don't think you can let anybody know, so you fake it. You put on anyway, and that actually makes it even a bit worse. And then you start putting it off thinking, well, time will heal, when time really doesn't heal anything. That's an old adage that actually isn't true. Only the Holy Spirit can heal you. And so then you get a little bit deeper in it. And then literally we all get to this place of death. And it may not be a physical death, but it can be a moral death. I've watched people just say, whatever. You know, where there is no vision for my life, you cast off restraint. So whatever. I guess it just doesn't matter anymore. And they die a moral death, or they'll die a mental death, or die a spiritual death and give up on God. But you end up in this very dangerous place.
Well, this fresh breath that you talk about, it is the Spirit of God, but it's not something that has to be passing. It's something that we can actually live in His presence, knowing that He's ever present with us. And through His Word, we get the encouragement and the inspiration that God wants to give us.
And I think that's what I'm passionate about most about the book, is leading people to two things, and that is a vibrant, intimate relationship with Jesus. Because I think there's always two ways to follow the commands of God. You can do it out of duty, or you can do it out of delight. It can be out of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, or it can be out of the tree of life. You can do it because He commanded you to do it, or you can do it because you're in love with Him. I think there's two ways for me to stay faithful to my wife. I can do it because I said I would, and the Lord would be upset with me if I committed adultery, or I could just be in love with her, and being unfaithful is just not an option. There's always these two choices, and so I'm very passionate about that. And then leading people to a vibrant understanding of the person of the Holy Spirit. The benediction of 2 Corinthians is, look, know the grace of Jesus, the love of the Father, but have the intimate friendship with the Holy Spirit. And so I end the book, I call it the big reveal part of the book, that the breath of God, the Spirit of God, the words literally translated, ruach in the Hebrew, pneuma in the Greek, is breath. It's just the breath of God.
The fact is, with me as a preacher, and as a preacher that had big crowds, I found myself in the doldrums. Because I found myself going through the farm, and I found myself, Chris, I was operating in the gift of the Spirit, but not walking with the fullness and the fruit of the Spirit. And I was so defeated and in my mind so tormented that I was miserable. And I actually had something happen that I feel like is really what Chris is, I think, illuminating in our thinking to show us that this is where I happen to be at that time. It's not where we're supposed to be, but here's where we're supposed to be. I had a guest speaker at our Bible conference that was showing us Samson, and he was referencing how he had lost his vision, he had lost his strength, he had moved out of the will of God, and he was grinding at the mill. And here was this powerful man who could just destroy hundreds of people with his own power, could kill a lion. He was stronger than a wild animal. And yet he's grinding at the mill, and he could barely move. And this preacher literally got into some kind of a contortion form of showing how Samson was trying so hard and working. And I just began to weep and tremble, because I said to God, as I was watching this guest in my own Bible conference, and there were, I think, 13,000 people around me, and I said, that's me. I'm grinding at the mill. I'm working so hard in ministry, but the joy and the peace and that fresh breath of God, Chris, it was gone. And I really believe that just hearing that preacher showed me where I was, reminded me of where I had been and where he invited me to live in the fullness of the Spirit. And that actually was an initiation of my journey back into fresh air and into the fullness of the Spirit. And you've observed that walk in my life of what God did when he literally lifted me up out of that pit of defeat. And I've got to be honest with you, there's so many people watching us right now, and I wouldn't scold. Matter of fact, I point a finger sometimes and I think, oh my, I wouldn't want you to think I'm trying to scold you, because I know I can be pretty emphatic. But I want you to understand that it's an invitation to receive the fullness of the Spirit, to receive the fresh air. God wants to lift us up out of the doldrums. He's the one that can move us out of them, and he's the one that can give us the refreshing power of his manifest presence. That's what I hear you saying with all of the various chapters and stories that you're trying to show people. This is really supposed to be the normal way of life.
Absolutely. And I think if there's one key word that they need, and that is relationship. I just believe that when you're close to the person of the Holy Spirit, when you understand him, not as a ghost, but as a friend, mm-hmm. when you really have him, someone that you're intimate with, an intimate friendship with the Spirit be with you all, Paul said. Same thing with Jesus. If you're operating out of this love relationship, one of the stories that I tell, I love musicals, so I love Fiddler on the Roof. A lot of people have probably seen this great play or this musical. But of course, the clash is between this Jewish dad and his five daughters. They're falling in love, but he has a tradition where he arranges their spouses with a matchmaker. Well, in the course of this clash, and it's a great story, he wonders if his wife loves him. So he goes into the house when the daughters aren't there, of course, and he sings a song to her because it's a musical, and he sings to her, "Do you love me?" And she says, "What do you mean, do I love you? I wash your clothes, I cook your meals, I milk the cow," and she goes through a list. And basically he comes back, he says, "I know what you do for me, but do you love me?" And I think the Spirit of God says to us, James, "Do you love me?" And we respond back, "Well, I went to church, I give, I serve, I've read my Bible, I prayed, I know what you do for me, but do you love me?" And I'm convinced if people can come back to a vibrant love relationship with the Lord, the wind comes back in the sails, they'll find themselves propelled right out of that dead place.
Well, you really, really, that really touched my heart. I don't know if because I'm approaching 70 or, get older, maybe you get where you reminisce or you think back, but I've got precious memories. And I flashed back while you were talking, and I was kind of telling you how I felt that grinding at the mill sense. And I know how I came back to fresh air, but here's what moved me while you were talking. And Betty, you remember so well, because you watched it happen, and really you have prayed me into so many serious places and beautiful places. I came back to God, Chris, not because people thought I wasn't really right with God or that I'd messed up. I came back to God because I missed him. I missed him. I said, Jesus, I loved you so much. He was first love. And I said, I've gotten to where I love ministry and things, but I miss you. And that brought me back. And that's where I live now. I mean, I've been living in that love relationship with Betty and for nearly 50 years. And I have a relationship with the Lord that's so precious. And the thing I want to say in line with everything you said, Chris, and all of our viewers, is that He is worthy of your love, and He loves you. He loves you beyond any articulate communicator's ability to convince you. He loves you so much that He gave His Son to die that you could have life. He loves you. And to experience that love, but also to express it back, like Chris was saying, to express it, that's where He's inviting you right now. So right where you are, why don't you just say, Lord, I want that. And you just talk to Him like a friend. Lord, go ahead and call Him Lord. That's who He is. Maybe I don't know you like I should. Maybe I don't even know you. I want to know you. And go ahead and tell Him. And I want to love you because I believe you surely must love me. You gave your Son for me. I want to receive that. Just go ahead and tell Him. Jesus said no one can come to the Father unless they come like a child. Just ask Him to come into your heart. Right where you are. Telephone number there on the screen if you want to call and say, pray with me. I just prayed and asked Jesus in my heart. We'll send you a book that is Knowing God as Father. It's a little Bible study. Kind of tells how I came to know God as Father because I didn't have a dad. I didn't have a dad. I got that Father. But it'll tell you how to know God the Father. And would like to send it to you. The book, Fresh Air, it's in the bookstores. It's a blessing, absolute tremendous blessing. And if you help us feed children, we'll be happy to send you Chris's book. I want you to know I appreciate you writing this book and coming and sharing. Would you just tell Chris Hodges how much we appreciate him being here? Thank you. Thank you very much. I want you to listen to something that I think will bless you. Betty and I have been, you know, ministering together. A lot of her ministry was, along with our kids, giving Dad and her husband to the world, so to speak, to minister. But about 25 or 30 years ago, she and I, our children had grown up and having their own families, we went all over the world to touch the people that no one had ever noticed. And you helped us love them. I want you to listen to what a doctor said about that, that watched Beth Moore. And just listen.
I found out about Life Outreach because I watched Wednesdays with Beth. And so that was something really important to me. And I've actually heard Beth Moore talk about her experience of going to Angola. And so I had been so impacted by that, those stories of the children and feeding and all those things. And I just started to feel like the Lord was leading me to join with them to support Life Outreach and all the different ministries. The feeding and the water ministry just were extremely important. I think maybe because as a doctor, I constantly talk to people about what they're eating and drinking enough water, and it started to just really weigh on my heart that there's people that don't have anything. You know, in America, we have so much to choose from, and there's so many toxic things that people can choose. And over there were just images of children that didn't have anything. And it really pulls at my heart because I can see things now that I'm a mom with completely different eyes than I saw before. I know what it's like to have a baby depending on you to eat, and I've thought so many times actually since I had my child a couple of months ago that I can't imagine watching him suffer or watching him be hungry. And so that has spurred me on to just continue what I feel the Lord calling me to do in a much more emotional way, I think, because I feel connected to those moms who are able to do for their children what I can do for mine. I just broke my heart, where I just felt like I've got to do something. Even if I'll never meet them, I don't know, but it doesn't matter. We're called to do that. I just feel like the Lord has blessed me in different ways, and it's not for me that we're blessed. We're blessed to be a blessing. And that's what made so much sense to me is even if I can't go all the time overseas, then I can partner with people who are already there and already doing amazing programs that are in place. And that made a lot of sense to me. And that's certainly what I felt the Lord moving me to do.
Wow. Boy, I can't tell you how much it blesses me. It doesn't surprise me, because that wonderful, wonderful doctor who got spiritual food. You know, we tell you when we come and we share our guests, or Betty and I share from our hearts, or we have Beth Moore, and she talked about who touched her. We're trying to give you spiritual food and water. We're here to bless you, to give you life today, encourage you to share and express life today, every day. But when you hear a testimony like that, Betty, and you commented so many times how, as a mother, you would never want to see our children or our grandchildren suffer. And yet that's where these people live. And we can alleviate their suffering and give them hope by simply giving them food.
Absolutely, James. And one thing I appreciate in her sharing about her desire to be a help to those babies that are in such need, as she compares them with her baby and how beautiful her baby must be. But I think of it too, the mothers are the ones that touch my heart too, because there's not a mother holding one of those babies that they wouldn't do everything they could to save their baby. And they do, but they don't have any options left. But we can help. We can make that difference. And you have so many, many times, because you've, in your love, have reached out with Life Outreach to make the difference. We're asking you to do that again.
Well, you know, I know I've got a pretty tender heart. Sometimes I find myself apologizing for it. I wish I wouldn't, but because I can't help it, okay? I can't help it. But when you were talking about those mothers and those babies, and I saw them being fed, and then I saw the one holding them, I felt like while you were talking, I guess I just felt like I heard a lot of mothers say, would you help my baby? Many of them have no milk because they're malnourished and they can't even breastfeed. And those mothers will say, would you help my baby? And I guess I hear Jesus say, would you give a cup of water? Would you give food? Would you do it to the least of these? I hear Jesus saying that to you right now. Would you? Okay, would you? Would you help her baby? You can. We'll always pray with you. Love pays for the phone call. When you call, say, I got a broken heart. Okay, we want to pray with you. We care. We really care. We want to share your burden. But would you dial the number today and say, yes, I'll help your baby? A gift of $30. Think about it. This is incredible, but it's true. A gift of $30 feeds three children for the next several months. $30, three children for months. 50 will feed five, 100 will feed 10. We're going to send the book that I've written to bless you. Nearly everyone that knows me, and our son joined me in editing and helping with the book, he said, Dad, this will be the bestseller you've ever written. Because he said, everybody understands how precious their pets are. But oftentimes they don't see the lessons God wants them to learn, and Dad, you put it out. And we'll send this to say thank you for any gift. And I hope you'll help all you can. And then we're sending you Sarah Young's devotional Bible. This is absolutely beautiful. She's a missionary, beautiful devotionals, and this is a fabulous, beautifully bound, leather-bound Bible. Make the gift of $125. Help us feed 10 children. The lion and the lamb bronze, for those of you who can make a $1,000 gift or more, and you know something? Some of you can do that. You could say a big yes to a lot of mothers for their children. Go to the phone, use your bank card like a check, or go lifetoday.org. You can do that and make your gift online. But make the gift God put on your heart. Would you do it?
At this very moment, a child is drawing his last breath, struggling to stay alive due to a lack of food. Sadly, this impoverished child is not alone, and without our help, many like him face death as well. Today, you can make a difference. You can help save a life. Life's mission feeding teams are in place right now, ready to answer the hunger cries of 400,000 suffering children in remote areas of Africa. With previous food reserves gone and parts of Africa facing its worst food shortage in more than two decades, we desperately need to replenish our supplies immediately. Your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 will help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift, we would like to send you James Robison's newest book, The God of All Creation. Through his personal observations of animals and wildlife, James shares heartwarming stories and spiritual lessons of God's love and grace. With your gift of $125 to help feed 10 children, you may request the new Jesus Calling Devotional Bible, featuring 260 scripture insights from the author of the Jesus Calling Devotional, Sarah Young. Finally, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,000 to help save the lives of 100 children. And you may also request the Lion and the Lamb bronze sculpture. Call, write, or make your gift online today.
You know, Betty, I feel like a lot of people are going to say a big yes to a lot of mothers for their baby. Mothers that aren't even able to feed their baby. But you can help them do it. We're sending the book, The God of All Creation. I promise you'll love this. And also today, if you'd like to have Chris Hodges' book, Fresh Air, we'll be so happy to send it to you. Something may have just sparked inside of you, and you say, you know what, I know I can go to the bookstore and get it, but James, I'm going to help you feed those kids and send me that book too. We'll be glad to do it. Join Betty and me again saying thanks to Chris Hodges. Love you, buddy. Appreciate you. Art Churches, Association-related churches, go on our website, lifetoday.org. Find out how you can check that out. You'll like it.
It's holding your membranes together. It's the glue of the human body, Louis. It's laminin. You got to tell them about laminin.
Louis Giglio, tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.